Section 4. You will hear a lecturer talking about telecommuting. First, you will have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Since the late 1990s, when internet connections became commonplace in many countries, there has been a significant change in the way a number of companies permit their staff to operate, and the concept of working out of the office began on a large scale. Working from home, also referred to as remote working, became even more popular with large companies about a decade ago as suburban broadband improved. Video conferencing went from being difficult to practical. Statistics released in 2004 showed that in many countries across Western Europe and North America, just over 17% of major corporations offered at least some staff the option of working from home. Fast forward to today, and leaps in mobile technology have meant that remote working has now expanded far beyond the working from home options of the early 2000s. Now employees are able to work almost anywhere, with little more than a cell phone and a data connection. However, this change can only in part be attributed to ever-evolving technology. A large part of the driving force, which has more recently seen a huge rise in the number of corporations offering remote working options, has also been driven by a generation referred to as millennials, defined by researchers Strauss and Howe as those born between 1982 and 2004. This group of employees, and soon-to-be employees, are demanding a wider range of flexibility in their working hours and locations. The concept of travelling to an office 5 days a week to work a 9-to-5 job just like their parents is simply something many are not willing to do. For the corporations themselves, this increasing move towards a more flexible working environment offers a number of incentives. Fewer staff members on site means a reduction in the necessary physical size of offices and work environments. As more staff are working outside of the office, there are more and more companies who operate an available desk policy, meaning that workers that usually work remotely but may need to visit their office, do not have a designated workspace. They simply occupy the first free desk that is available on any given day. There are also less obvious ways that office areas can be reduced. Fewer bathrooms are now needed, as well as fewer car parking spaces. Although there is a continued increase in the number of positions which can now be filled by those who work remotely, there are some companies that are now beginning to clamp down on the practice, even to the point of cancelling previously established positions that were conducted out of the office. Given that working from home solved a number of issues, this seemed to be an unusual step for corporations to take. The official reason for the change is that a department working together in one place improves productivity, teamwork, and morale. And there's something in this. Collaboration is easier when co-workers are based at the same location. Even chance meetings at the coffee station can spark fresh ideas. However, there are clear indications that the requirement for staff to return to the physical office is not entirely based on a desire to increase productivity and creativity in the workplace. Are there more sinister reasons for the change? For companies that once offered the option of working from home, the requirement for staff to now once again travel to an office might prove too much for some employees, who may instead choose to resign and find work elsewhere. Resignations do not require a payout, whereas redundancies often require a sum of money to be paid to the staff member whose position has been cut. For a company that may want to reduce the number of people on the payroll, reintroducing unfavorable work conditions that encourage staff to move on is a convenient and low-cost way of trimming staff numbers. Then, of course, there is the public perception factor too. A company that is making staff redundant can often, and generally accurately, be perceived as being in financial trouble, and that does not make for good business. The cost factor that working from home appeared to offer to companies also did not work out quite the way it was expected. Fewer people working at an office base meant that companies required, at least in theory, smaller office spaces. But could the reduced building space mean the company was in trouble? Was there a potential collapse imminent? As with many decisions made when a company is in the public eye, this apparent downsizing made many shareholders and potential customers suspicious about changes being implemented. But of course, there are significant concerns for companies that have decided to withdraw the option of working from home. Many talented staff members may quit, and those that do return to the office may carry a degree of resentment.
That is the end of section 4. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. That is the end of the listening test.